Welcome back to our show. We're in Jefferson, Texas. They say it's the most haunted town in this state. Texas is a big state, so that's a big claim. We have with us right now, from the Metroplex Paranormal Investigations Unit, Vicki Isaacs.
How long have you been the ghost leader?
Well, in 2001, my friend Amy Green and I started the group.
Amy Green?
Mm-hmm.
And is she still in the organization?
No, she isn't.
Did she leave because of a personal reason, or was she scared stiff? Or what happened there?
We had too many group members, okay. And I decided to reformat the group, and Amy chose not to stay.
And basically, what do you guys do? Do you have little meetings like AA or what?
We are a very social group, so we do go out to movies and things sometimes, okay. But most of our communication is done through the Yahoo group page.
Yes.
And telephone.
Someone, are you open for more members, or are you pretty well full at this point?
We're pretty well full. I cut the membership almost in half when I reformatted the group.
And what was the reason? Just to keep control of things so you could actually focus on something? Because if you get a lot of people, they're out doing all different kinds of things.
And that's exactly it. When something that sounded really interesting came up, we'd have the whole 20 members out
and
there.
And when it was routine, nobody would be there.
Well, a core group would be there, the ones that are really serious about it. And I felt like it wasn't fair to the people that are really serious about it.
What kind of reaction do you get from your friends when they find out you have this organization?
Well, it's one of two things. Are you crazy? Or, hey, that's really cool.
Have you run across a situation where you were scared?
Not by anything paranormal.
Oh, okay. We had some,
Terry plays a lot of tricks.
So they do play games with you.
Yeah, and they seem to pick at me the most for some reason.
Well, now Rita heard a voice at 4:06 yesterday morning at the Jefferson yelling at her. Was that somebody playing a trick, or did she really hear it?
If Rita says she heard it, I think she heard it.
Okay, we'll ask her about it in a moment before we wrap up the show. But and so you do have at least one psychic, her, involved in this, right?
Correct. What she does is totally different than what we do. We only document the activity.
When you say you document it, do you keep records of exactly what? Do you take pictures and you take some sort of readings, I guess?
We take meter readings.
And what kind of meter readings is what I'm getting?
EMF meter readings, electromagnetic fields,
temperature.
Always hear the temperature, and I always get different stories. Which is it? Does it get colder or hotter when a ghost is around?
Actually, it could be both.
Okay.
Cold when it's drawing the energy out of the atmosphere, and then it'll release it and it'll warm back up.
And have you seen an image of anything?
No, I'm one of those people that you're going to have to knock in the head with a hammer. I'm a skeptical believer, and I'm more on the believer side.
Yes.
But...
Well,
nothing ever happens to me.
Kind of like me, I'm kind of agnostic about it, but I'm very open to it.
Right, exactly. I've not ever had anything happen to me, but I think that there's that possibility.
Well, you know, if you don't pay attention, and there have been comedy movies made about things like that, like a ghost trying to scare somebody and they're not paying any attention, that actually is not far-fetched. If some people are attuned to things and some people aren't.
Right.
Just like when you're driving down the freeway, some people see things, other people don't. What's your next project?
Actually, we have an investigation next Friday night in Fort Worth.
And what are you going to be investigating?
A private home.
Most of these things, do they happen in private homes or public places when ghosts appear?
Lately, what we've been doing are private homes. It seems to happen a lot more. And I think maybe the homeowners are more interested in finding out what it is than a business owner would be.
I just got a call from a woman in Tulsa who said... you know, I moved to this house last week, and she started naming things have been breaking, and doors have been slamming. And I said, well, you better call your real estate lady and ask her. Maybe you can get your money back.
Yeah, they should have disclosure there.
Yeah, they do. They do have disclosure in most states now, don't they? What's your theory behind if these entities actually exist? Why Are they trapped because of some problem, or are they here because they want to be? Or?
Well, there's two schools of thought on that.
I'm trying to find out what you think about it.
What I think?
But I one think of the schools of thought, it'd be interesting to hear.
Okay, well, one of the types of haunting is called a traditional haunting, and that's an intelligent haunting. It's trying to contact you. It knows that you're there, and it wants you to know that it's there. And most of the time, that's happened with a violent death, a car accident, a suicide, something like that. Maybe they had unfinished business,
mm-hmm.
so they're earthbound. Then there's a residual energy, which is like a broken record that just plays over and over and over again.
It's stuck.
It's energy releasing over a period of time. It doesn't have any idea. It's not aware of you, but you're aware of it. And that's actually your best chance to see a ghost.
Texas, is that a good place for ghosts?
Texas has a lot of history. I think any place with a lot of history.
And a lot of
right.
It's interesting. Texas is, I don't want to sound like the ad for their state, but there's all kinds of territory, all kinds of people, all kinds of situations in this state. It's a very big state. So, like over here in the east, it's almost like you want to sit down and have a mint julep, you know.
Right.
Seems to me that at first glance you'd think this part of the state was more haunted, but I'm not sure because Mineral Wells came up, and there's a lot of things happen out there in the cowboy country, in the prairie.
Well, we average 2 investigations a month. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 3 a month and only 1 the next month, but the average is 2. So, and we're from the Dallas Metroplex, so yeah. There's something going on everywhere, apparently.
Right. Well, you drove 3.5 hours to get over here. Mineral Wells is about the same the other way.
Right. And we'll pretty much go anywhere in Texas, even though we're based in North Texas.
Now when we talk about you being full up, you can't handle any more members, how about investigations? Can people contact you if they have something of interest?
Yes, they can email me at the website.
Okay. And we have a link to that and on our website and your email address. So, if that's okay, we'll put that up there.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Okay.
I mean, we'd even go to Oklahoma and Louisiana. We're not picky. We love road trips. So.
Well, good. Well, maybe we'll run across each other on the road again.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vicki. Vicki Isaacs with the Metroplex Paranormal Investigations Unit. And we're going to now go across the gazebo here and talk to Rita Louise. Dr. Louise, of course, is a PhD and a well-known soul healer. And she has other things going besides being a psychic, and we'll probably touch on that. By the way, she has an interesting website, and we have a link to it right here on this page. You might check her out. Rita? It's been an interesting weekend for sure. Welcome back to the show.
When we left you last night, you were going to go into the Jefferson Hotel.
Yep.
And you spent a long time in there. In fact, you spent the night.
Well, I ended up spending the night in there. It was the unexpected surprise.
Now, you had to get up and do a TV show real early, so it made sense to stay there, really.
Mm-hmm.
You say somebody yelled at you during the night?
Well, actually, it was about 8 minutes before I had to get up to do the television interview, and I was having a dream about driving to the hotel to have the television interview, and then someone yelled in my ear, and I just sat bolt up in the bed and was like, okay.
It was better than the alarm. It came off faster than the alarm did, huh?
Well, I definitely was awake.
Yeah, I understand. Tell us what happened in that hotel. You sensed some things. You saw some things, I think.
Well, I mean, there wasn't any one thing in particular, but you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
And I'm going to just kind of skip to the middle part because this is the juicier part.
Okay.
And so I went in, and there were a couple of rooms that I investigated in the downstairs part, which we can come back to if we have time. But as I started walking up the stairs, the first thing that hit me was that it had been a brothel in the upstairs part.
And you didn't know that at the time.
No, I knew nothing.
We later on, after you went inside, talked to the manager, she gave us the history of the place. And so you sensed that right off the bat.
About a third of the way up the stairs.
And evidently there were some murders in conjunction with it being a brothel.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. But see, I didn't hear about any of the murders. So don't tell me anything because I didn't go through all the rooms.
Okay.
You know?
What room were you in when you went to sleep last night?
We were in room 21.
Does it have a history or do you know? Obviously, somebody wakes people up at 8 minutes to four.
Well, what I heard in the morning, what I sensed, there was a couple of things that I sensed, that was that there was a man that stood by this one chair in the far side of the room, and I felt that he was a businessman, he had a suit on, and there was an money thing going on. He wasn't necessarily there to sleep, but that he was there more to conduct business, and he might have lived there, quote unquote, but it was more his place of business. One of the things I did find out after was that some of the rooms, especially in the downstairs part, had been small offices, like little executive suites that you would have now. And so then I went into the bathroom of that room. I went into the bathroom, and it was really yucky. My very scientific paranormal term, it was yucky.
Are we talking about needing to be cleaned, or are we talking about it being full of
It was full of yucky energy.
Not good stuff.
Not good stuff. And I walk in, and I kind of go around the corner, and I just see this gentleman's body in the tub full of water, slumped over, either very drunk or dead.
Well, as I said, there have been some murders in that hotel. And when you literally see these things like a vision, like watching on a movie screen, or are they actually there?
I mean, I see them in my mind's eye, so they're not in corporeal form or vaporous form. You know, they're just there. I mean, I tell people it's kind of like if you wear sunglasses, you can still see through them, but there's something in between your eyes and what you're visually seeing.
Yeah, I have sunglasses on right now, so I know what you're saying.
You know, so
when you got up to do the TV show this morning, then you went over to another place where some things had happened. You've been busy for 3 days. I mean, how do you keep up with it? You got pretty good stamina, girl.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
But come on, Jerry, I'm always working. Yeah, you know, this is just, you know, this is actually kind of funner than sitting there working on my webpage, you know, or whatever.
We talked about, you're as a young person up in New York when you were growing up, and I kind of cut you short on that a little bit, but you actually lived where it had been a funeral home at one time, right?
That was in college.
In college.
I mean, the house that I grew up in, you know, I call him the dead guy. He lived in the basement. I have 7 brothers and sisters, and in the basement was where my mother did laundry. We had a big chest freezer and an extra refrigerator. And so if you were tasked to go down to the basement to go get a soda, it was, how fast can you turn the light on, run downstairs, turn the other light on, go open the refrigerator door, grab whatever it was, right or wrong, run back, turn all the lights off, and slam the door behind you.
And
it was the dead guy.
There was a dead guy there, you're sure?
Or well,
I think it was just a story.
Well, no one had to. I had heard when I was about 13 from the gentleman who ran the deli around the corner that someone supposedly had died in that house, had been murdered in that house. But no one knew where. We didn't know anything, and it was, you know, rumor to us. When I was taking some classes, we did this exercise on where are the people in your family energetically in your house. Okay, that was the exercise. And we had to draw like a little schematic of our house, and I was, you know, where all the bedrooms were and, you know, all the floors. And so I was like, okay, there's Bill in this room, and there's my sister in this room, and there's me on the front porch. I kind of own the front porch. And there were some of my other brothers and sisters out in the front yard, and somebody was in the kitchen, and then there was the dead guy. I mean, he made my floor plan, and that's how he got called the dead guy.
You don't know anything about him.
No.
We are talking about ghosts and the dead who live on the other side. Our guest is Dr. Rita Louise, a well-known psychic and soul healer. Rita, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about being a psychic. I mean, there has to be some unique things that have happened to you in your life because you are psychic. I mean, what I'm trying to get at is, I guess you never have to ask your husband what he wants for dinner, right? We'll be back.
I'm Jim Morris, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reggate is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reggate DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reggate will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now, this month only, at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reggate, a Linda Cowan production. We're about to wrap up our two-hour special on the most haunted town in Texas. We are in Jefferson, located in East Texas, and we're talking with well-known psychic Dr. Rita Louise.
As a psychic, as you said, it's kind of different from your regular routine of working. It's not 9 to 5. You work all the time. I can tell people that because I contact you in the middle of the night and you're still we're still working. Basically, it's got to be relaxing because it's a change of pace. But also, is it really taxing on you? I mean, it seems to me if you walk into a place all of a sudden you're feeling these images and these things, that would have to wear you down pretty quick.
Well, you know, it's not the sensing and doing the work part. It's the not getting any sleep part. I mean, we went to bed at 1 o'clock one morning, but that was after...
That was early, evidently.
Well, that was after the woman I was sharing the room with playing with a Ouija board with someone else, and so that just kind of got me all spooked out. So I laid there for at least an hour before I fell asleep, and then...
What do you think of Ouija boards?
I don't like them. Yeah. I mean, I feel like they open up portals to... Who knows where? And
Have you worried about you going to these places, these spiritual or sacred or ghostly places, and opening up doors that maybe you shouldn't? Does that ever enter into your mind?
I mean, I feel like I have enough information and personal knowledge to not do something like that. I mean, I know how to protect myself, you know, and not bring stuff home with me.
You mean you when you talk, you're not talking physically, protecting yourself, talking about...
Energetically.
Right.
Yeah.
You know how to, in other words, seal it off so it doesn't bother you later.
Well, I mean, when I'm working, it's like, you know, I'll use my hands to feel so it's not coming necessarily in full contact with my physical body. And then once I feel something with my hand antenna apparatus... Then I look at it, and so I'm not bringing it into my body to interact with it. I mean, someone that does channeling, as an example, it's like they open themselves up to receiving whatever the energy is, and I don't do that. I mean, it happens for me, but it's not...
You're basically using yourself as an antenna and picking up these things,
right.
and you're... Deciding what you want to focus in on, is that
right?
It's kind of like going across a radio dial.
Exactly.
Well, I don't want that, but I want this. And
exactly.
Interesting.
You must have read my book.
Well, of course. I'm a very prepared host. Didn't you know that? Folks, you need to get a hold of our book. You can through our website. And you got an interesting website. Let's talk about that for a minute. Give everybody your URL.
It's www.soulhealer.com.
On your book... And your newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Your newsletter is very interesting. You send it out quite often.
Actually, it comes out the first Wednesday of every month, and it covers a variety of topics from straightforward alternative health and healing, working with herbs, working with supplements, to self-improvement information, to information on spiritual growth, metaphysics, you know, covering all of the body, mind, spirit aspects that I feel are important to wellness.
Well, we're going to actually do a show with you on wellness here pretty soon, and maybe some regular features, because you've had quite a success down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area especially. But you travel all over the country. Since I've made contact with you, setting up some interviews, which we haven't done yet, because you're always out of town, or I'm out of town. But
That's right.
Yeah, basically, you know, you've been to Nashville, you've been to Washington State,
Florida.
You travel everywhere. Somebody interested in this newsletter, how do they get that?
All they need to do is to go on my website, and there's a little form that you can fill in that says, sign me up for the Soul Healer newsletter. You enter your email address and your zip code, and you're on the mailing list.
What are you working on your website next as far as... you have some video on there even.
There's video of me being interviewed on Channel 5 News, Channel 4 News.
In Dallas. Big stations, big market. So that means Rita is accepted by the major media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. You going to do any more of these things? You belong to this group, I guess, or
right.
They just call on you all the time?
No,
you're an actual bona fide member, huh?
Well, at first I was just a replacement psychic person.
Okay.
And they liked me better than their regular person, and so they made me a member of the group. You know, well, they asked me if I wanted to be a member of the group to just come to all the different investigations. I was like, sure, I don't care.
Did you, last night I noticed, I watched you very carefully there at the Jefferson Hotel, even though I was doing some other things, interviewing, you were busy with the camera following you around and you walking in the rooms, and you were very concentrated. You're
mm-hmm.
focused.
It's that antenna. You got to get on the right station.
Yeah. Any surprises in this trip? Or you basically come about what you expected to find?
I mean, I really didn't have any expectations.
Okay.
I knew nothing of Jefferson other than Jefferson was haunted, you know, and have heard the name of the Grove and had heard the name of the Jefferson Hotel, but... And when they wanted us to do this project, I wanted to come into it very cold. And so when they were getting history information from the owners and they were doing the advanced walkthroughs to, like, look for electrical outlets and check for ventilation issues and stuff like that, I chose not to come so that when I walked in, that was the impression. I wasn't hearing little pieces of conversation that I might pull into my impressions of the place.
Yeah, that always is the first thing a debunker says is, well, they've heard that before and they thought that or whatever. And so you'd be commended to try to keep an open mind
mm-hmm.
about things, because I guess it is very important. Let's talk just a little bit more about your psychic ability, because we're going to spend a lot of time on the other issues on another show. But how did you find out you had psychic ability?
Ooh. Actually, when I was 30, I had always
last
been...
Last year, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm not even 30 yet.
Oh, okay.
That's next week. Actually, I became interested or fascinated with psychic phenomena when I was 12, when it was still called ESP, and started studying and reading and reading and reading, because through my reading, the impression I got was that if you attained a certain level of enlightenment, you know, you got a black belt in enlightenment, a byproduct of it was that you had psychic abilities. And so I really didn't care about the enlightenment part. I just wanted the psychic part, but it's like, well, if I have to go there to get this, it's okay. And so that's why I just went on this, you know, insatiable path of reading and studying, and there wasn't really... I mean, there were books out there, but there wasn't anything that I ever saw where you could, like, take classes or anything. Lived in California when I was 30, found the Berkeley Psychic Institute. There's kind of a whole weird story around that.
Is that in Berkeley?
they are in the Bay Area, and around Berkeley.
Yeah, I lived in the Bay Area, so I understand.
You know, so the main campus was in Berkeley, mm-hmm. but I actually went to the school in Palo Alto.
Okay, down on the peninsula.
Mm-hmm. And
the Tata section.
It's where I lived.
Okay, so
I started sitting there, and they had some prerequisite classes that you had to take, and had some very weird experiences happen there. But I was like, I'm not psychic, you know, and started in the clairvoyant program, which is the program where they're supposed to teach you how to be psychic. And, you know, there was that TV series called The Sixth Sense that had Gary Collins, mm-hmm. who is the psychic detective. And so when you watch that show, it always showed, like, these thought bubbles with people floating around or, you know.
That's
you,
never happened to you?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Well, that was what I was waiting for. Yeah, okay, that was enlightenment. A thought bubble would appear, and you'd see these things floating around. Didn't ever happen. And that was always my expectation, was that I would have this experience. Didn't ever happen. So I started at Berkeley and sat there waiting for my bubble to appear.
It's okay. You can we can take a break if you want to answer it.
No, it's Jim. He's okay. Like in.
Well,
the,
we don't want to hear from your ex-husband. I mean, your real husband. I mean,
he's in the. I'll call every few minutes until you answer the phone.
No.
Okay. So let's see. So
we'll
I'll
take that part out. You're safe.
Well, I'm just trying to think where I.
But we were about the bubbles.
Okay.
And the visions.
And so
Gary Collins.
Okay.
Connection.
So I had started in the program and was expecting to have this experience, and it never happened. And so about 2 weeks into the program, they had a psychic fair. Every month they had a psychic fair that was 2 days long, and if you were in the program, you were expected to read at the fair. And so I get there, and I'm like, and someone said, well, just go take a seat and do some readings. And I'm like, I'm not even psychic yet. I'm only been in here 2 weeks, you know? And so they sent me to the information table, and, you know, I told them what was going on, and I was told this line, and I have used this line ever since. The gentleman at the table looked at me straight in the face and said, just make it up. And then, you know, and I'm going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And so he put me with a woman that was more advanced in the program, and I just kind of sat next to her. And what was fascinating is she would sit there and talk to people. And, you know, if you're listening to someone else's conversation, you can kind of track it in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I felt like I was doing. She's talking, I'm tracking, and then she'd say, well, is there anything you want to say? And I'd say, well, and I'd kind of talk about the same thing except from a different, slightly different angle, but I didn't really feel like I was contributing anything or doing anything particularly psychic, but... But no one disagreed with us, so that was okay. So go back to class the following Monday, and we had a healing clinic every Monday. And what would happen was when you would read at the Institute, there would be a line of psychics that sat side by side, and then one client that sat across from them. And so that night, there were about five or six students that had finished this beginning section of the program that decided to just show up. And when you read in line, there was the person that sat in the center of the group who kind of controlled everything, and then it was a definite hierarchy pecking order as you went to the ends. And being so new, I was sitting all the way on the left end of the row. So this woman sits down, and she starts complaining about this beauty salon that she had and how she was losing business, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so then the really smart psychic started telling her about, oh, you have this past life contract about this. Oh, you have this present life agreement about that. And Jerry, you know my sick mind. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, but that's not getting butts in chairs. So what does she care?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time they're talking, I just kept seeing this impression of a woman with really long red hair walking up to, like, a workstation and taking her purse and slamming it down on the workstation. I didn't know what it was, you know? And so the woman who was kind of facilitating it said, does anybody have anything to add? And so I'm sitting down on the end, and I raise my hand. Now, usually everybody's yelling stuff out, and I'm raising my hand, And she said, well, Rita, what are you looking at? And what was interesting was that apparently they wanted you to do the readings with your eyes closed. So first she told me to close my eyes, and I found that a little unnerving to talk with my eyes closed, kind of like chewing gum.
Yes.
And walking at the mm-hmm. same time, talking with your eyes closed. And so I closed my eyes, and I asked, did you have this woman with long red hair working for you? And she said, yes. And I said, when she left, was she very angry? And she said, yes. And I said, well, her anger energy is keeping people from coming in the store. And I just went, that was kind of cool. You know, because it wasn't anything different than any of the other weird stuff that had happened. You know, I mean, I used to say stuff like that all the time.
So basically, if I'm getting the message here, you feel you either have it or you don't.
No, I'm not quite done with the story.
Okay, good.
I have a little more piece
okay,
to it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking in my brain, well, that was a weird coincidence, but it wasn't anything different than I had not done with other people that I knew, other people that I didn't know. You know, it was just kind of got this idea and I just, you know, blabbed. And then I opened my eyes. And the entire row of psychics were leaned over in their chairs with their mouths open, staring at me. And that's when I figured out that stuff that I had always done my whole entire life equaled psychic experience, and that whole bubble, thought bubble, floating around kind of
right.
thing was a lie.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with that whole story, and thank you for taking time to tell us that, because that's a very honest and revealing at the same time about your ability. And I guess what I was trying to say is you either have it or you don't as a psychic.
No, because everybody has the ability. It's just that more people are aware of it than other people.
Uh-huh.
And so the way somebody explained it to me was that everyone knows how to draw. It's just that some people can draw better than others.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, and I thought that was a really good analogy. Right. You know, because we all have the ability to receive information from other people.
Back to the ghost here in Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
And then we got to go. Our time's up. And you've only worked 72 straight hours, so you're probably glad to see it in, too. when we talk about psychics and your experience in seeing these things, you're saying that probably many people who say, ooh, that's spooky or something, they might be picking up on the vibe and they're just not paying any attention. Is that what
mm-hmm.
you're saying?
Well, I mean, if you walk into a room and you get the creeps, that is a psychic experience. If every hair on your body stands on end when you go somewhere...
Yeah, it's kind of like when you first met me. No.
Oh, you mean yesterday?
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. So, in other words, people need to be paying attention more to,
mm-hmm.
to what...
And we can have a whole episode on that. I have lots I can share on that particular.
We'll do that in the future, the near future. Any more ghost hunting in the future?
We have two in the next 2 weeks.
So you're going to be busy for a while.
Well, typically we have an investigation maybe once a week, once every other week. And this was just, you know, an extra project that kind of got thrown in on top. But we got to spend three lovely days in Jefferson and went and did about 15 minutes of shopping.
And only a couple hours of sleep each night. And
yeah.
I don't know, I guess you get used to voices waking you up at 8 minutes to four. But
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, Rita, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Rita. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, to Louise.
That's right.
Well, we certainly have had an interesting time, an interesting weekend for sure, here in historic old haunted Jefferson, Texas. The ghost train, the haunted hotel, and strange noises in the night. Jane Swartley was our production editor. Roberta Scott was our on-location producer. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Thank you for listening. Cheers.